Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Doohan, and joining me today is Trina Cottingham, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish Alaska and Washington. Trina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so you just became the President and CEO of Make-A-Wish Alaska and Washington. So let's talk a little bit about your history with the organization. How did you come to work with Make-A-Wish? And give us an idea of your journey up the ladder today as CEO.
Oh my gosh, it is a journey to say the least. So I first learned about Make-A-Wish when I worked in a previous job way back last century in 1996. And I was immediately taken by the mission of granting wishes for children with who are battling critical illnesses. And I signed up to be a volunteer. And I was a volunteer for a few years. And then I was hired on in October of 1999 as the Disney Wish Coordinator. So I came on staff and granted all of the Disney related wishes for our organization at that time. And from my hire to now, I have just, you know, one, I love the mission. So I have stayed. I have stayed and stayed because I can't imagine going anywhere else, and moved up through the ranks of, you know, manager, director, most recently as vice president of program, overseeing the program side of the house. And then when our last CEO left, I took on the interim role and I did that for a year. And then I finally decided to take the leap and go for the job full time. And my official hire date was just the beginning of September. So it's been a little over a month as the official president and CEO.
And now that's 26 years from volunteer to CEO and everything in between. So you have a pretty intricate knowledge of the way that Make-A-Wish works from every level. Tell me, a little bit, how have you seen Make-A-Wish evolve over that time?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the most exciting change has been the steady growth and our ability to continue to show up and bring our community with us to grant wishes for kids and to grow that number almost every year. Obviously, a few exceptions in there, but really having that focus point of granting a wish for every eligible child and growing and pivoting to continue to strive towards that goal.
And now that you are in the leadership position to kind of make these calls, what is the next evolution? What do you want to see the future of Make-A-Wish look like?
Ooh, well, again, it's that same, I mean, it sounds funny, but it's the same goal, grant a wish for every eligible child. The really great thing is Make-A-Wish America, so our parent organization, they did this amazing study last year that is based in statistics and medical incidences and diagnosis rates. That really is for the first time we have true data that tells us how many wishes we should be granting every year if we are going to grant a wish for every eligible child and where, to some extent, those kids are in our territory and what diagnoses they are and who we're missing. And that has really given us a great compass point to aim for in a way that we haven't been before. We've always had an idea that it's probably about this many kids. Now we know we should be granting 500 to 550 wishes a year. And if that happens, we truly are granting a wish for every eligible child every year in our territory. And we're not there. And to me, if we truly believe in this mission, it's our duty to grant a wish for every child, because this mission has impact and it makes a difference for kids and their families who are going through medical crisis.
Now, I will want to talk about the actual granting of the wishes and all of that. But before we even start with that, you've been in this organization for a long time, from volunteer to wish coordinator to CEO. Talk to me about the impact a wish has on the child and the family and the community surrounding that.
Yeah, I feel like time and time again, the thing that really resonates with me is when families in their, you know, post-wish talking about the wish, they talk about the moment in time and the ability for them to be a family again and put medical concerns and stresses aside and really have this opportunity to enjoy whatever it is together. And it really has an impact on people, and there's often a pivot in how the trajectory of life goes, right? You have your wish and you have this thing. You have this thing to look forward to, you have this thing to enjoy, and you have this thing to remember and think about when times are hard. And the community part of that is imperative. We can't grant wishes without our community. That's our donors, our volunteers, our staff, the people who show up every day for these kids. And it's such a privileged space to sit where you, like I always say, I get to see the good in the world every day when people show up for kids and families that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
I've actually had the privilege of talking to a former Wish kid, Cassidy Huff.
Oh, Cassidy.
She's amazing. And yep. If you're listening right now and you're on the podcast, her episode is available, but her side of the story from getting the wish, and how that impacted her view on treatment, her view on moving forward, like it changed everything. And now she's thriving. She is absolutely thriving as a person. And so to see the impact on the person with the wish is just mm-hmm. amazing. But to know how that affects the family and the people surrounding. And honestly, if your name is on the list and you're waiting for your wish, I think hearing the story of somebody going through it, it's another reason to be excited. Now, that being said, you talked about the number 500 to 550. There's currently 550 children awaiting wishes in Alaska and Washington. That requires a lot of help from the community. Can you talk to me about how people can help make these wishes a reality?
Absolutely. One, donate your time, show up and be a wish granting volunteer. Our volunteers really, if you're looking for an impactful volunteer opportunity, we are a great place for you because every wish child is assigned two volunteers who are part of that wish experience from beginning to end. So you really get the opportunity to, one, see your volunteer hours have an impact direct and in person. You get the opportunity to make a difference in a child's life and their family's life. And we can't do it without our volunteers. We have volunteers all over our territory. We need them all the time. We need bilingual volunteers. We need English-speaking volunteers. We need all of the volunteers. The other way is to donate your money and help us because we are fully funded by donations. We do not get government funding. We have only private and corporate donations and grants that come to us, and that's what makes our mission possible. And even donate your airline miles. If you can't give your time and you don't have extra money, but you have airline miles sitting in your mileage bank, those are directly impactful to us, and they help us grant travel wishes for kids who are currently waiting.
So how does somebody, a child, go from diagnosis to actually getting their wish granted? That's the other side of the coin here.
Yeah, we don't solicit or go find families per se. We take referrals from medical professionals, wish families, the child themselves. It's really easy to do online. www.wish.org. That will take you there, refer a child. And if you know someone who might qualify for a wish, so a child with a progressive, degenerative, or malignant critical illness, refer them, send them the referral page. I always say, if in doubt, refer. Because if you don't refer, the answer's automatically no. But if you try, the answer is potentially yes. And having a wish is really impactful for kids and their families. And I encourage everyone to refer. Even if you're not in our territory, we have Make-A-Wish chapters across the country. So that same website will take you to the one in your neighborhood.
You also have a lot of great events that happen. In fact, this Tuesday, is the Wish Heroes Luncheon. Now, it's probably too late for people to sign up for this year, but can you talk to me about it, what the event is like, and then in case people are thinking, hey, next year I'd love to be a part of this.
Yeah, it's hosted on our in Bellevue on the east side, and we have a very quick lunch. It's really accessible for people. It's about an hour to an hour and a half in and out the door. So it's a really great midday break from work. You can bring your coworkers, really come be inspired, hear wish stories. We'll be featuring Tucker's wish this year. He wished to give back for his wish. So instead of wishing for something for himself, he wished to provide gaming systems to Marybridge Children's Hospital that other kids going through diagnosis and treatment could use to distract themselves while inpatient. So we'll be sharing his story, and you just get to hear how people are showing up in the community, see people who are there and care about a mission that's outside themselves. And of course, it's a fundraising opportunity to help fund our mission.
Which is amazing. And then the big thing happening is next year is the 40th anniversary of Make-A-Wish, yes. 40th anniversary of the first wish happening. What's the plan for the 40th anniversary? Is it secret or can we talk about it?
No, it's going to be a year of celebration. So our official birthday is in February, and we will be celebrating from February of 2026 through February of 2027 with all kinds of nods to our history, the people along the way who've made it possible, former board members, donors, volunteers, Wish Kids, like really just looking back and sharing some of those tremendous partnerships and really just the successes and the joy that has come. You think about 40 years and over 9,000 wishes. It's a lot of impact for a lot of kids and families, for volunteers, for donors, former staff. Like, it's just a really exciting time to just reflect on our mission and how great it is to show up the way we do in the community.
Right. And I totally appreciate that you guys do show up in the community. What you're doing is incredible, making a huge difference in people's lives. And I always admire people that are willing to go out of their way to do that. Now, Trina, first of all, congratulations on your rise to CEO. I think that's amazing. And I'm sure that you can make a huge difference in that role. Before I let you go, though, what is one lasting thought that you would like people listening right now to take with them?
Wow. Wishes matter. I think that's the most simple way to describe it. Wishes matter. They make a difference for kids. They help them have power of choice at a time they don't have choice in what's going on. It shows them that the community cares about them. It gives them and their families an opportunity to really focus on each other and step outside of crisis and illness. So wishes matter.
Yeah. Having seen it firsthand, having talked to former Wish Kids, they absolutely do matter, and they're lifelong memories that the Wish Kid and the family take along with them. So what you guys are doing is amazing. Trina Cottingham, president and CEO of Make-A-Wish Alaska and Washington, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's always great to share.
Of course. And thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of the station.